It is good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Hallelujah, God is good. It's good to be home. We had an amazing trip, and just real quick, I just want to let you guys know that next week we'll share some of the pictures and some of the things that took place, but I do have a couple brothers that are going to come and share a little bit about some of the things that happened on our Belize trip. It was, amen? It was a phenomenal time that we had, and God just really did some amazing work, you know. And, you know, you always go there with the expectation of that you want to give something, you know, and that you want to pour into the lives of the individuals in whom God has called you to minister to. But it always comes back that as you pour out, God just pours more into your life. And that's what God did in my life in this trip. It was just absolutely phenomenal, just some of the things that we saw. And so I'm going to ask a couple brothers this morning, Brother Mike and Brother Shelby, to come on up this morning. And share before they do, though, I just want to make a quick announcement about Adopt-A-Block. Our Adopt-A-Block program is outreach ministry that's on that we've been doing on Saturdays is going to kick back up again. We're going to do, amen, hallelujah. We're going to begin again on the first and third Saturdays of the month. Instead of trying to do it every single Saturday, it was just really hard, and I know that people have some things going on, but we felt that if we can do, say, a first and third Saturday of the month, we're going to do that, and so we're going to be reaching back out. So starting the third Saturday, so not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday will be the third Saturday of the month. We'll kick it off. Miss Melinda is going to help head that up for us. Melinda, praise God for you. Amen. And so feel free, it's going to be, we're going to meet here at the church at 1:30, and we're going to head out to the street at 2 o'clock. It's just going to be from 2 to 4 o'clock. So if you like reaching out to people, knocking on doors, praying for individuals, and just seeing God's power work in the lives of people, come out and be a part of that outreach. It's an amazing outreach. We just go into the neighborhood and just go and be an encouragement to people. So again, I encourage you starting next, not next Saturday, but the following Saturday, we'll meet right here at 1:30, head out to the street at 2, and just spend a couple hours on the streets. Amen? Amen. So come on and be a part of that. Amen. With no further ado, I'm going to let Mike share a few minutes.
Praise God.
Brevity, amen. Brother.
Did have a couple little pictures. I'm kind of nervous, though. I don't know why I'm so nervous.
You're all right,
Daniel,
man.
If you put that first one up there. Obviously, we went to the Belize Central Prison, and it was a great outreach. These guys were like many of us when we were in prison. We needed the hope, and we just tried to bring that in. The next one. We had, this is my small group. A couple of these guys were there the last time they went, so they knew Keith and Chris and a couple of the other guys. It was just a good outreach. And the next one, this was the guys there. This gentleman in the middle made this painting or a drawing that for all of us.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Oh, and there's Jeff, of course. And we just had a really good time, and it was really fruitful. You know, the next one here, we had, that's me and DB, so we had a good time. But Brian and I, the whole time while we were planning this trip, we were talking about the street ministry that we were going to do, and we were just, man, really excited about it, and it was going to be good, and we were just going to go evangelize in the streets. And really, for me, the prison ministry was good, but just the evangelism on the streets there on the island were really good. The next one here, we had Brian and I were just walking around. Next one, Daniel. We just took the guitar out, and we just kind of let it be a tool to just break the ice with people. And we just would stop people on the street, and like the kids, we'd let them, you know, strum the guitar or whatever. So this was her before the first song, and this was her after the song. So. Well, I don't know if it was the song or if she was just ready to get rid of us, but one of the two. But the next one here, we had this kid right here. Patrick said when we get to the island, there's going to be someone that was going to be a key to the children's ministry. We had a night where we all got together with the kids on the island. We had glow necklaces and all that. But he was right about that. But something about this kid, man, he was just special.
I real.
And I could go on for a long time about this. But something happened on the last night. We went to eat. We were buying him ice cream and stuff, and he went into the restaurant with us, and then all of a sudden he was gone. And I was like, man, this is the last night. We're going to be leaving early in the morning. I really didn't get a chance to say goodbye to him. But right before he left, and like Robert said, the Holy Spirit prompted me to go get him, and I didn't do it, right? You know, I wasn't obedient to that right away. So as we were that night, we went back to the hotel. We're going to sleep. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. I said, Brian, we got to go find this kid. Jason says, come on, Michael, be quiet. I said, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 3
man.
In the morning. I'm like, dude, really?
I said,
got a couple more hours, brother. We can go get him later.
I said, I'm sorry, man, but something moved on my heart, man. I got to find this kid. So we got up in the morning. I said, Brian, it's 5:30 in the morning, right? So I said, Brian, let's go. We got to go get him. So we got up and we said a prayer and we said a devotion. And I said, man, Holy Spirit, just lead us in the right way. It's a small island. We're going to find him. So the first person we meet on the street, I said, hey, do you know, I had my camera. I said, hey, do you know this kid? And they're like, that's my cousin. I said, hey, can you tell me where he lives? He said, he lives right down there on the left. So we went over there and we knocked on the door. Bam, 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 bam. Nobody came to the door. Bam, 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 bam. Nobody came to the door. I said, Tyrell, you in there? And I heard somebody, something in the Creole, said something about Tyrell, so I knew we were in the right spot. So he comes and he opens the door. He's got sleep in it. So we just wrap him up, man, and we just tell him that we love him, man. And I didn't want the last thing that he thought about was the Christians that didn't say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
And so we did. I mean, the Holy Spirit just honored that. And I knew it was going to be one of two ways. It was going to be either a story of listen to the Holy Spirit when he tells you to do something and not, or it was going to be a story of this is what we need to do to walk that out and go and find this precious little kid. And a couple of days later, he called me up and said, hey, it's me, it's Tyrell. So, I mean, I gave the phone to Brian, and it's just a great time. But he would fit right into the Rangers, man, and he got his little friend. I told him, he said, there's an iguana over there. Do you want me to go catch it? I said, you can't catch it. And he said, who told you that? So that was our thing. That was like all the way back any time. Still even today, I asked Brian, I text him, who told you that? So, but it was great, man. We had a great time. I just love that kid. You guys say a prayer for him. His name is Tyrell. I don't know about anything about the iguana, but he's just a great kid. I love him, and hopefully next year we'll see him again. So thank you guys for the share.
He was ready to eat that iguana. That's a delicacy over there. Well, actually, the eggs. They like the eggs. Go ahead.
What an awesome God we serve, amen?
Yes.
Mike talked pretty much about the street ministry and the kids ministry, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the prison and what happened to get us there. I think a lot of you know that the trip really wasn't even supposed to happen. It had been canceled, and we didn't expect to get to go. And so we only found out about 6 weeks before we left that we were going. So it seemed like everything was stacked against us as we got there. The prison has a new warden, and she's Muslim. And she was opposed to most anything that we had to do there. She didn't want us there and didn't like us. But there's a guy there named Kason, who's the ranking officer in the Tango 1 unit, which is the faith-based unit there in the prison. And they have 75 inmates there that are being discipled by him. The amazing thing about Kason is that 7 years ago, he was a prisoner there. So it's the whole trip was pretty much orchestrated by God, from the fact that it went from the trip being canceled to us getting there. And then one of the most amazing things that we found is that out of the 10 team members that went, 5 of us hadn't been out of prison for a year yet.
So yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's not, you know, not only,
man, glory to God, amen.
Most of you know that you know, when you're on parole, you can't even leave the state, let alone leave the country. So five of us were out of the country with permission, and we weren't on the run, and we weren't hiding out. So it was.
Talked about it, didn't we?
We did. We talked about staying, but we didn't. We came back. But it was an amazing time. You just see God's hand at work in everything. The warden would say, no, you can't do this, as she was signing the papers to let us do it. So it was just over and over and over that you can't bring this in, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't congregate in the middle of the, you can't have a service out in the yard, as she was signing the papers to agree to let us do it. So it was an amazing time, and God heard their call. He heard their prayer.
Amen.
Amazing time. But like Tim said today, if I could exhort you one thing, is that if you're going to do something for God, do it today. Time's running out.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Amen. So again, next week we'll have a little bit more to share with you guys, some pictures. Brother Patrick will come with some others and just share their hearts with you about this amazing trip. Again, it was certainly an experience that changed my life, as almost every missions trip does in some way, shape, or form. And I remember Skylar and I, we were walking around that island, and Skylar said, "You know what, Jason, you realize something?" I said, "What, man?" He says, "You know, I've been out of prison for 1 year today." That was a Saturday that we were on the Paradise Island. Amen. And we were walking around in the Caribbean, you know, and this brother was celebrating his 1 year anniversary out of prison in the Caribbean. Amen. That's the amazing power of the God that we serve. And I mean, and we just kept, we'd look at each other with Skylar and I'd be like, "Dude, we're in the Caribbean, man. Look at this." I mean, it was beautiful, you know, but you know, we didn't go again. When we hit that island, we were exhorted the night before we left by a brother who said, "You know what, ministry just doesn't stop when you go over there, all right? You know, what you guys have been doing needs to carry on," and it did. We went to that island, and, you know, and most people think that we just kicked back and stuck our toes in the sand and got sunburnt, and, you know, and you know, although Gerald did come back a little bit more tan than he normally is, we all did. But we were on the streets. I mean, Brian and Michael and all of us were walking around the streets just evangelizing, telling people about Christ just from place to place to place. I mean, we scoured that island. I think I walked in one day back and forth from my room about 7 or 8 times, you know, because you'd go to one end of the island and you come back and it's like somebody else was going. You'd be like, "Okay, well, I'll walk with you, man." You know, and they were going to go do this. We're going to go, you know, see this individual. We're going to go play music at this one place that they want us to come do some worship. I mean, it was just nonstop. And then the kids' outreach ministry that we had that Saturday night was just absolutely amazing. We didn't know what we were going to do. You know, we know how to do it. But, you know, again, we just put it in God's hands. And God had about 35, 40 kids show up. And Kyle gave a message. And we just played games with the kids, and it was just an amazing time. And we also even got to connect with an Assemblies of God pastor there on the island. We went to church Sunday night, you guys. We didn't go, that's right. We didn't go Sunday morning, but we went to church, y'all, Sunday night, all right? So we did. We had a time of fellowship and worship with a church there. And this brother asked us if we would like to share testimonies and some songs and some different things. So, I mean, it was absolutely amazing the things that God did on this trip. And again, God was glorified. Amen. The men in the prison, again, were blessed. And we just saw them encouraged and just saw some growth in their lives and some understanding. And if I would say if there was a main theme that we gave to those men there was being under spiritual authority, being under the cover of spiritual authority. Because, you know, of course, that's why they're in the predicament that they're in, is because they would not submit to authority. You know, many of us went to prison. Many of us are subjected to our sinful lifestyle because of the fact that we reject God's authority in our lives. And we just felt that was the central message that we needed to give these men, that regardless of the leadership that's there in that prison, as wicked as they may seem, they are still under their authority. And that the blessing and that God's hand upon their life will only remain there when they're obedient. Amen. When they're obedient to God's authority. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again this morning, Lord. God, we just want to, again, honor you this morning, God. We want to hear from your Holy Spirit today, God, that you would change us, transform us, Lord. Renew our very minds by the washing of your word, God. And we thank you for your precious word this morning, God. And Lord, we just want to lift up our brother Joe to you this morning, Lord. God, that again, that you just be with him, Father, that your hand of healing be upon him, Father, touching his life, God, and everything, Father, God, we lift him to you this morning, Lord, brother David as well, Lord, Randy Taylor, Lord, who was out sick today. God, all this sickness, all these things that are trying to come against your people, Father. God, again, Lord, we know that you are the great physician, Lord Jesus, and we, again, place our trust and our faith in you, Lord. And we thank you again today, and we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it doesn't look like I have much time left. So, let me make this fast, okay? We're going to... we don't have much time here. I guess, again, I was telling someone that brevity is going to be key here this morning. shortness. Short and to the point. Amen. Well, you know, there's a story that was told. There's a guy who went to a doctor's office, and he went to the doctor complaining about all this pain he was having. He said, Doc, you know, I hurt all over the place. I'm hurting everywhere. He says, really? He says, okay, well, touch your forehead. You know, and the guy touches his forehead, and he grimaces in pain. He says, okay, well, why don't you touch your arm for me? He touches his arm, and he grimaces in pain again, shouts out. He says, okay, well, let's touch your knee. So the guy touches his knee, and again, this guy just shouts out in pain, Doc, that hurts. And he goes, well, let me try one more test. Touch your toe. Just touch your toe. So the guy reaches down, he touches his toe, and again, the guy screams out in pain, just going nuts. And the doctor says, this is odd, man, this is odd. Let me take a look here. And he took a look at the guy, and he grabbed the guy's hand, and he says, oh, man, no wonder. Your finger's dislocated. Your finger's dislocated. See, many of us have experienced this this phenomena, wow, sing to us, where everywhere we turn in our life, that there's pain and there's hurt that we experience. You know, we saw in the life of these men just the pain in which they were going through in their lives. You know, we talk about healing. When we talk about healing, most of the time we're talking about physical healing. You know, Brother Jack preached a amazing message on having faith in Christ and talking about healing. But you know, if you really look at the foundation of healing, where it started for us spiritually. Christ, when he gave his life, when he dealt with sin at the cross, he dealt with our spiritual lives. He dealt with spiritual healing. Now, I don't discount physical healing at all. I know that Jesus Christ is still in the business of healing lives. But foundationally, what I saw in the lives of these men was the absolute need to see their lives spiritually, emotionally healed. And many times, even today, just like this guy, this story that I just told you, you know, it's indicative of our lives even today, that when one small part of our lives is hurting, it seems like everything is just out of whack. Is that not true? When you have just something that's coming against you in your life, it throws everything out of place. Every single thing. When one small, you know, just like this guy, he had just that one little dislocated finger. But every single part of his body would hurt when it was touched by that finger. And so holds true with the things that we have to deal with in this life every single day. You know, the growth of hospitals and clinics, counseling centers, psychiatrists, psychologists gives the stark testimony and the reality of the pain, the hurt, and the sickness and the brokenness in lives today. You know, you look at all these medications that are out on the market today. It's just unbelievable the way that they've been able to advertise these things. And of course, who would want to take them today with all the side effects? You know, you got a hurt an elbow, and they will take this, you know, this pill, and you know, it might cause you to have ulcers. Your liver may fail. You might get cancer. Your eyeballs might fall out. Your teeth and your hair, but it will cure what ails your elbow, you know? I mean, you know, and so the society in which we live in, we're masking one problem only to give you 1,000 more problems, you know? And that's indicative of our lives today, and when we're dealing with the hurts and the pains and all the things in which are taking place in our lives today, we need to be made well. We need, each and every single one of us needs to be made well, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. You know, we've got some brothers who are out today who need some physical healing in their body today. And again, Christ is all sufficient when it comes to healing. But foundationally, if we look at Scripture, that first and foremost, healing comes when we deal with the sins and the things that are out of whack in our lives. If you look at three chapters or three books in the New Testament, both Matthew, Mark, and Luke record in Matthew chapter 9, verses 2 through 6, about the paralytic man that was brought to Christ. What was the first thing that Christ said to him when he saw this man being brought to him? He told him that your sins are forgiven you. He never healed the man instantly, But he wanted to deal with the sin that was in his life. We see that again in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And the same thing in Luke, chapter 5, verses 20 through 24. The exact same thing. Every single time that Christ dealt with an issue in someone's life, according to these scriptures, it was always he dealt with the sin first, and then he said, well, what is it easier for me to say, that your sins are forgiven or rise up and be healed? So, of course, dealing with their hard-heartedness, he healed the man physically as well. Not only did he heal him spiritually, but he healed him physically. Now, again, I'm not discounting healing at all, okay? So hear my heart on that. I'm not discounting healing at all. But what I am saying is that foundationally, this thing is bankrupt. It's fixing to fall over. We'll deal with that. But what I'm saying is that when we're not dealing with the issues in our life, when we're not dealing with the foundational truths that the Word of God says about our condition, about our spiritual condition, then there is no room for physical healing or any other type of healing to take place first in our lives. In Exodus chapter 15, try to hold that up for you. You got to screw it in there, man. In Exodus chapter 15, we find a very interesting name for God. You know, and I've been doing some studies on the names of God, and they have just been just revolutionary in my understanding about how God deals with us according to his nature and his character. Because every time God reveals a name to us about himself in the Bible, he's revealing something about his nature, and he's revealing something about his character. And so in the book of Exodus chapter 15, we find a certain name. And let's read verses starting at verse 22, chapter 15, verse 22. And so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And when they had went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went out, they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. There he tested them. So this was all about a test. This was all about a test. If you guys remember previous to this chapter, where were the children of Israel? What were they up against? They were up against Pharaoh and the Red Sea, were they not? They were kind of up against a rock in a wet place, right? They've been chased by Pharaoh. They had left Egypt. God had delivered them from Egypt, and they were traveling into the wilderness, and here they come to this place that seemed impossible to cross. Totally impossible, with Pharaoh on the backside chasing them. And what does God do? God, of course, tells Aaron to use what is in his hand, the rod. Aaron lifts the rod, the sea parts. God delivers the children of Israel through the Red Sea, and then, of course, demolishes the entire army of the Egyptians in the process. So here it is, just following this great victory, you read at the beginning of verse 15, this song. It's called the Song of Moses, and it's a praise and worship service, if you will, about God's glorious and mighty hand to deliver. And so here they were. They were rejoicing. They were praising God. They were giving God glory for what he had just done to them, for the thing in which he had just delivered them from. And he had just used this thing, water, as a means to show them his mighty hand. Did they not? And so they get this praise and worship service going. Then they travel 3 days into the wilderness of Shur, and they come to this place where they're thirsty. They have absolutely no water. So find it ironic that God delivers them through water only to bring them to another place of water. Stick with me here. So this was about a test. And again, water was simply the means of testing. And again, God will always test us to see if we're paying attention, does he not? He always tests us to see if we're paying attention or if we're just sitting around just kind of nodding our head, amen, and and just going on about our business. I know a lot of the times I hear, you know, individuals, you know, say amens when, you know, you would never think that you should even put an amen there, right? Everybody's going to hell. Amen. You know, I mean, wait a second, brother. Are you listening? You know? But a lot of times we don't. We just are just kind of just arbitrarily saying stuff sometimes. And God is always trying to test us to see if we're paying attention. See, the children of Israel had just gone through this test. God had just shown them his power by dividing a great mighty sea and delivering them. And now they're just a little bit thirsty. And so this little pool of water that is undrinkable, that's bitter because of bacteria, whatever was going on with it, there was they had no ability whatsoever to be able to drink it. And so God is now bringing them to this place, as the Word of God says, as a test. He tested them at Marah again to reveal to them something, to reveal to them that he was their source, that he was their source. He had just did this mighty and great work delivering them through the Red Sea. Again, tests are designed to do two things. The first is to see whether we're paying attention. We talked about that. And the secondly, it gives God the opportunity to reveal something new about his character. It gives God an opportunity to reveal to us something new about his character, maybe something that we've not learned before. But it's to develop in us the character and the faith to rely upon him. See, they had just been delivered from this Red Sea experience, and now they're whining and moaning and complaining because they don't have anything to drink, and so they come to this pool. And I mean, come on, wouldn't it stand to reason that if a mighty God can open up a sea and deliver you through a sea and then kill your enemies in the process, that he can make this water drinkable? Come on. But see, that's how it is. And you know how you know you're failing a test? How do you know that you're failing a test? You're complaining. You're complaining. That's how you know you're failing the test that God is putting you through. You're complaining. You're whining. You're moaning. Come on. How many of us are guilty of that? Huh? And God is, I mean, how many of us, God has done some amazing things in our lives? Powerful things. Things that even go beyond our comprehension and understanding, but yet he brings us to another place in life that's kind of similar to the very thing that he just delivered us from, and yet we look at that situation and we go, man, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to raise the money for this? You know, God just took you on a missions trip and raised $3,000 for you, and then the very next 2-3 months down the road, something else comes along, and you know God's called you to it, and then yet you sit there and you stand around and look and mope and wonder, how is it going to come to pass? When God is saying, I've done it for you before, why wouldn't I do it again for you? And whatever the situation is. So it's always an opportunity to develop us in our character. You know, there's a story of a young boy who saw a butterfly who was in a cocoon, and the worm that was in the cocoon began to struggle and fight its way out. Well, instead, the boy, you know, didn't like to see that thing suffer and try to fight to get its way out. So he goes over and gets his knife and he cuts the cocoon open. And the butterfly falls out and it dies. And the young boy is wondering, why did it die? Well, understand something, that butterfly, in order to get out of that cocoon, needs to fight its way out of there. In order, it has to go through a struggle. It's got to go through something to strengthen itself to be able to fly. See, and the pressures and the tests and all the things in which we go through in life, they're designed always to strengthen us, to bring us through, to make us stronger, to be able to do what God has called each and every single one of us to do, and to do it effectively. And everybody wants to help, you know, the individual who's going through that hard struggle in life. We want to, you know, we sympathize with people, and we want to put a hand, and we want to become God's providence, if you will. I've got to help that individual, man. He's just struggling too much. Well, you know what? That person needs to struggle exactly where they're at, because if you go and help them, and you try to deliver them out of that situation, then you're usurping God's authority and what he's trying to do in that individual's life. and that individual is not going to grow. He's going to be just like that butterfly who perished. So there's always a purpose. Working through our problems from the beginning to end is much easier when we understand that God has a purpose to our problems. God has a purpose to our problems. Just like the butterfly in the cocoon, reaching our destiny isn't the entire goal, you guys. Reaching the destiny, reaching the end is not the entire goal. But the process of getting there is what's important. It's the process by which we get there. Because if we're not prepared and ready for it, then we're going to perish. We're going to perish. See, I believe, I think Chris said before, I've heard Chris say that your character, I mean, that your gifts will take you far in life, but your character is what keeps you. Your character is what keeps you there. And if you don't have the character to keep you in that place, and how do you gain the character? Again, through the struggle, through the things in which you have to go through in this life. And so the children of Israel find themselves at this place whining, moaning, and complaining about this test in which they had just failed because they're complaining. Verse 25, it says that Moses cried out to the Lord and he showed him a tree and he cast the trees into the water and the waters were made sweet. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty unorthodox way of making bitter water sweet. Pick up a tree and throw it in the water. Does that make sense to anybody in here? I mean, I would think you would try to take some sodium chloride and take a small bucket and run the water through the sodium chloride to purify it and kill all the... That makes sense to me, you know? Or dig a hole and filter it through sand and rock and find you some charcoal to filtrate it and do all that. I mean, that's logical to me, but it is not logical for me to take a stick and to throw a stick into it and make the bitter water pure. Does that make any sense to anybody? Doesn't make any sense to me. But verse 26 says this, and he said that if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, then I will not put the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the one that heals you. See, this was all a test. And again, water was the test. Water was the test in the Israelites' life at this time. God did not make the bitter water sweet or drinkable just to satisfy the thirst of these people. He did it to reveal to them something that he had never done before. He revealed an aspect of his character or his name in which he had never revealed to the people before in their lives. He wanted them to know that he was their healer, that he was the one who heals. The next question we really need to ask ourselves is this: God is our healer from what? What is he our healer from? Well, to give us a point of reference, the scripture tells us that God said that I will put none of the diseases on you which I had brought on the Egyptians. Now, God is saying this: you don't have to suffer like the unrighteous, in other words. See, because if we look at the things in which the Egyptians suffered, the most part, these plagues were physical, were they not? I know the boils were a physical manifestation that they needed to be healed from, but I mean lice, frogs, hail, you know, fire from the sky, all these different things. We're talking about things in which the unrighteous have to suffer today because they choose to walk outside of the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of God. When we don't have that umbrella and protection that God gives us when we're obedient to his very word and to who he is, then we have to suffer like the rest of the unrighteous of the world do. He says he will put none of those things on us. You don't have to go through the things that the ungodly have to go through because he says that he is the God who heals. He is the God who heals you. Why were the Egyptians full? You know, why did they have to suffer the things in which they had to suffer? Because there was sin there. There was unrighteousness there. They worshiped idols. The God of all gods was not the center or the focal point of worship in Egypt, was it? Of course not. In fact, Pharaoh would not even let God's people go due to the fact that he wanted to be worshiped. He wanted them to worship them. It was full of idolatry. See, we need to understand that it's possible for believers, Christians, to be going through the same things that the unrighteous go through. Because when we adopt the world's view of things, when we adopt the way that the world does things, then we align ourselves with that. And when we align ourselves with the way that the world deals with things, then we're going to suffer just like the unrighteous suffer. But God says, heed my voice, heed my commands, heed my statutes, follow the things in which I say. And if you do so, none of the things in which I put on the Egyptians will I put upon you. We have to have the mindset and the lifestyle that God is the one who heals, that he is the one that delivers. We have to put our faith and our trust in him and him alone. We need to understand that. When the Bible speaks about healing, it talks about it in relationship to the sin that causes the problem. When the Bible talks about healing, it talks about it due in direct relationship to the sin that causes the problem. Psalms 103, 3 through 7 says that he who forgives all your iniquities and he heals your disease. James 5, 9 says, do not grumble against one another, brother, lest you be condemned, and behold, the judge, he stands at the door. Verse 15 and 16 says, and the prayer of faith will cure the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed sins, it will be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you be healed. That you be healed. Yeah, I got to make this quick, you guys. Thank you, Lord. I believe that each one of us in this room this morning has some type of medicine cabinets at home, do we not? And we keep a bunch of over-the-counter meds in our cabinets, and in them are various things that help us with headaches, with colds, with stomach aches, etc. They help relieve these things. But notice that I said just basically relieve. They're temporary fixes to a problem, a temporary fix that just simply masks pain in our life. But when things get serious, you don't want just some over-the-counter fix, do you? When things get serious, you want to go and get the prescription, right? You want to go see the doctor, and you want to get the most powerful stuff that's going to help fix your problem, right? We don't want just some over-the-counter fix. So you go to the doctor, and I don't know about you, if you've ever gone to a doctor and you see when he writes prescriptions out, you know, do you ever understand what's written on that piece of paper, right? You just see some scribble, right? And you're like, man, is this, you know, what in the world is this? Well, you know a doctor wrote it when you just see a bunch of scribbling on it, right? But you don't quite understand the word, but you take it to the pharmacist, and you hand it to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist goes back there, and he starts doing all his stuff that he's doing, and you're sitting there just praying that he knows what he's doing. He passed his test, and he's not going to put, you know, something crazy in your bottle of prescription, right? But you're praying that he's going to put something in there that's going to fix the problem. So let's look at this. So you go to the doctor who writes the instructions that you don't understand. He gives it to the pharmacist to fulfill, and you take that, and again, you believe that you know what this doctor is talking about. You have faith in the doctor and what he is talking about. If you get that prescription, though, and you begin to lean on your own understanding in this, meaning if you get the prescription, you know, and normally the doctor tells you or the pharmacist tells you that you need to take this for X amount of days, X amount of times, but if you try to do it leaning on your own understanding, you think it's going to do any good if you try to take this medicine in your own way, well, or you want to take medicine that was prescribed for your mom or for your cousin, or you want to do it some other way. It doesn't work. You have to do it the exact way that God has prescribed for you to take it. And in the same exact way, God has prescribed each and every single one of us a way in which we're to live life today. And that's by his holy commands. God has said that if you live by my statutes, if you live by my commands, that you will have life and life in abundance. That you won't have to suffer like the unrighteous. But see, when we want to do it our way, it doesn't work. If we want to take the prescription our own way, it's not going to work. Well, I don't want to take 2 pills a day. I want to just take 1. I don't want to take 5 a week. I just want to take 1 a week. well, you think that's going to work? Of course not. And we'd be pretty ignorant to think so. But God says the exact same thing. He says, you got to do it. You can't lean on your own understanding. The scripture says what? That trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. We can't do it our own way. But too many of us are trying to do life our own way, and we're getting what we're getting. We're sick in our spirits and our souls. We're sick physically in our bodies because we're trying to do it our way. So what was the lesson here at Mara? If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what he says that is right in his sight and give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you. See, again, don't get mad at God when you're not getting better because you want to take your own medicine your own way. You want to take your mother's medicine or your cousin's medicine or your brother's medicine. See, we can get advice from a lot of people, but I'll tell you what, a lot of people aren't hearing from God, especially not hearing from God about your specific situation. But yet we want to run to everybody else to hear what everybody else has to say instead of going to the source, instead of going to the one who is going to make the difference in our lives. And we get what we get. And we wonder why our life is in turmoil, why we're sick and tired, and we just can't seem to be moving forward in our spiritual lives because we're trying to do it our way or other people's way. Then God gives him this, you guys. He gives him this object lessons. He tells Moses this. He says, take this tree, and he throws it in the water. Tells Moses to throw it in the water. He tells Moses to do something, again, that makes absolutely no sense. He says that I am Jehovah, I am your healer, and I want you to watch what I can do in this situation that causes, that is, whatever offense that you're going through in this life, whatever bitterness, whatever thing that is has brought leanness to your very soul, God says, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it in such an unorthodox way, you're going to know that I am the one who did it. Amen? I'm going to do it in such a way that is going to make absolutely no sense to you, but just follow what I say. Just listen to me. Just take that branch and throw it in the water. Do it in the way in which I have called, in the way in which I have said, because I am your healer, and I want you to watch what I can do in this situation. Watch me turn a bitter situation sweet, is what God says. And see, we're holding on. A lot of us, I know, have been wronged in this life, have you not? Many of us have gone through some stuff that we probably should have never had to go through in this life. Abuse from parents, sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, robbed from, stolen, whatever it might be. And it's caused some bitterness. And I know there's probably some people still here this morning holding on to some things in their lives that should have been let go a long, long time ago. But you can't move on in life and you can't move forward because you won't allow God. You won't allow Jehovah Rapha, the one who wants to heal you from these bitter situations, to allow him to do so the way that he wants to do it, not the way that you choose to do it. I've tried to do it in my own strength a lot of the times, and you know what I've gotten? Absolutely nothing. Stagnant, stale water, bitter water. Not applying the truths of what God says in his word. It's an object lesson. It's a lesson, you guys. So what's the lesson again? That God is our healer. If an offense has come and made your life bitter, God wants you to know that if you follow his instructions, his statutes, his ordinance, even when it seems unreasonable, it doesn't make any sense to you whatsoever, that he will heal any situation in your life. But see, there's been a divine departure from the statutes and the commands of God that have left his people robbed and have left them bitter from their offenses. In Jeremiah 30, verses 13 through 17, he says this about the children of Israel. There is no one to plead your cause that you may be bound up. You have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities. Because your sins have increased, why do you cry about your afflictions? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitudes of your iniquities. Because your sins have increased, I have done these things to you. Before all those who devour you, you shall be devoured. All and all of your adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plundered, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. And we can see right here that God was talking to the children of Israel that all their iniquities, everything that they had done wrong, everything that they were going through there in life were a direct result of their disobedience, was a direct result of the sin in which they continue to harbor in their lives. But God says, just come back to me. Just come back to me. Do things my way. Do things the way in which I've instructed. And you know what? I will restore health to you, and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord. See, the key to your healing is in your submission to divine authority. Let me say that again. The key to your healing is in your submission to divine authority, based upon his word addressing anything in your life that's contradictory to his word. Based upon anything that's contradictory to his word. There was a young boy, and I'm going to close with this. There was a young boy who was lost and had lost his mom's keys. Car was open, but he couldn't find the keys to the car. So he had his cell phone, and he calls his mother up, and he says, Mom, I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. I've lost the keys to the car. I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I was walking around trying to get my directions, and the keys fell out of my pocket and got lost in the field where I was walking around. I'm lost out here, Mom. And the mom says, Son, don't worry. Don't worry. If you just go in the car, on the dashboard is the Bible. And I want you to look. Mom, I don't need the Bible right now, Mom. I need the keys to the car. I don't need the Word of God right now, Mom. No, son, if you will just go in the car, open the Bible up. No, Mom, I don't need the Word of God right now, Mom. I don't need the Bible. I need the keys to the car. I'm lost out here. Son, if you will go to the Bible and open it up, there you'll find an extra key to the car. See, a lot of the times, you know, we don't want to go to the place where we need to find the fix to our situation. We want to go to all these other sources. Well, I've been guilty of it. We want to hear from everybody else. I got to go talk to this brother. Maybe he can give me some enlightenment to my situation right now. Oh, he's a great counselor, man. He always hears me out. Man, he could help me out of this situation. When God is saying, no, I'm the one. I'm the source. Though you may not understand how I'm going to deliver you out of this situation, I'm going to be the one that does it. If you will just listen and heed my voice. Just listen to the things in which I have to say to you. See, a lot of the times the answers that we're looking for and the solutions to our problems are closer than we realize. They're closer than we realize. And all we have to do is just open the book. All we have to do is open the book. The answers are in the statutes, in the commandments, and in the ordinances of God. That's where the answers is. I don't want to base anything in my life on anything else but on God's holy word. I want everything in my life today to flow out of the truth of what God's word says. Because according to what's written, it says that if you follow these things, then God says, I'll not put those things on you. That we don't have to suffer like the unrighteous do. Psychiatrists, psychologists, really? Well, sometimes they're needed, I guess. God can use them too in an unorthodox way. But God is saying, will you lean upon my understanding, on my truth? Would you stand with me this morning? I know, you know, Brother Joe is in the hospital this morning, and he kind of had asked me, you know, last minute to be able to come and share, you know, something with you guys this morning. And again, I wish I could have really elaborated a little bit more on some things, but I believe that God's truth is enough. I believe that God's word is enough for us this morning, and that everything that he's spoken, I believe that he has spoken what he needed to in our lives today. And God, today, Father, today, O Lord God, I just want to pray for each and every single one of my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord. God, we need you, Lord. God, we need you, Father. God, there are so many things, Father, that the enemy is trying to use to hinder our growth, God, to hinder the work in which you've called each and every single one of us to, Father, to be set apart, Father, to be, God, your holy people, God, a people called by your name, God. Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that you would come and refresh, God, that you would pour in, Lord, your sweet living waters, Lord God. You, Lord, the scripture says that Jesus says that, that rivers of living water should be flowing from us, Lord, from each and every single one of us, God, who have placed our trust in you, Lord God, who have drunk from the well of life, the well in which you have given, Lord. God, not bitterness, Lord. Not harsh things, God. But Lord, sweet living water flow forth from our lives, Lord. That yes, Lord, that we would be trees planted, Father, by rivers, Father, being nurtured and being watered on a daily basis, Lord. And again, Lord, I want to pray this morning, Lord, for those, anyone in here this morning who has been plagued by things that have gone awry and gone wrong in their lives, and they're holding on to bitterness and they're holding on to offenses today. That, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the one who wants to heal us, Lord, in every area of life. Father, I pray, God, this morning that these things would be released, O Lord God, that they would release these things unto you today, God. And that, Lord, that they would be able to move forward in victory, Lord God. Because, Lord, at the end of this scripture, Lord, at the end of this story, God, Lord, the people left Marah to encamp at a place called Elim, where there were 12 springs of water that flowed and 70 palm trees in which to camp about, Lord. And God, from what I understand about springs, Lord, that a spring is a continual flowing of purified water that flows and flows. And Lord, that there were 12 of them, God. 12 for each and every single one of the tribes, God. The Lord, that those who passed the test at Marah, God, who believed in your statutes and your commandments, Lord, were able to see Elim. God, let us be a people, Father, who would learn from the things, God, in which you have tested us by. Let us be a people, Father, who would take your truths, Father, and who would take, God, the ways in which you do things, though they don't make sense and we don't understand, oh God. But that, Lord, that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to understand the application, God. We know that your word, Father, God, gives us a principle, Father, to live by. But it's your Holy Spirit that brings the application of those principles, oh God. Just like the doctor that writes the prescription, Lord God, that gives it to the pharmacist, Lord. And the pharmacist, Lord, gives us the application of that prescription, God. And today, Father, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us a word, God. I know that you've spoken words to every single person in here, God, about their situation, Lord, but they don't know the application yet. But Holy Spirit, I pray that today be the day, God, that you would alive and quicken in their hearts today, God, the very thing in which you want to speak to them, God, through the application of your word, Father, by the principles, by the statutes and the commandments, oh God. And again, Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your word, your precious word, God, that's able to transform and renew us, oh God. And we love you today, God. We love you today, Father. And we surrender to you, God. Have your way in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The altars are open this morning. We're going to spend a few minutes at the altar. If you need to deal with some situations, if you need to deal with some issues in your life, please, I pray that you don't leave this place today without having your business taken care of by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
If you are leaving, if you would do us a favor and just keep the volume down for those that are responding to the Lord this morning. Can I go?